Hello, welcome to the Bitcoin Game. I'm Rob Mitchell. I was fortunate that Dan Roseman of the Bitcoin job board, Coinality.com, decided to bring his Bitcoin job fair to Southern California. This was after having great success holding Bitcoin job fairs in the California Bay Area and New York. This third job fair was held on October 4th in the coastal region of Los Angeles, often referred to as Silicon Beach. The timing coincided with the price of Bitcoin reaching new 2014 lows. However, it seems clear to everyone deeply involved that the trading price of Bitcoin is very out of step with the growth, maturity, true value of Bitcoin's disruptive blockchain technology. The big picture I learned at the job fair is that Bitcoin is creating jobs at an ever-increasing rate. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews I conducted with principal members of four Bitcoin businesses that were hiring at the job fair. I started with a quick chat with Express Coin CEO Will Wheeler, then talked to Bitwage founder and CSO Jonathan Chester. Next, I had a chat with Michael Winkelspecht, founder and CEO of Gem. And finally, I spoke with Jacob Norty, founder and CEO of Malibu Bitcoin. Here we go.
Rob Mitchell, and I'm here at the Bitcoin Job Fair, first one in Southern California, and I'm here with Will Wheeler of Express Coin. It's good to meet you.
Yeah, Rob, pleasure to meet you too. Thanks for having me.
I first heard of Express Coin probably 6 months ago, and I didn't know anything about you guys, but it seemed like you guys were an exchange, and now I'm hearing you guys are the back end of a lot of different things. Can you tell me more about what your business is doing?
Sure. So Express Coin was formed December of last year. We spent a few months actively developing it. You know, wanted to develop a platform that could be used to support the industry. And so on top of offering sales through ExpressCoin.com direct to consumers, we built a platform that can support our agents, the ATM network, and the community as a whole. And so we provide liquidity, AML, KYC services to people on local Bitcoins, to ATM operators. We work very closely with ATM manufacturers as well. I think we're everywhere here in the States, operate in each state, and up in Canada as well.
Okay. Do you guys use a major exchange to help with your own processing?
Sure. We connect with a number of the exchanges. We also work with payment processors, the ATMs, individual sellers to source our own liquidity. And we, of course, we're always buying Bitcoins from customers as well. But yeah, we connect with everybody.
Mm-hmm. And a business like yours, would you guys, as part of your business model, ever just invest and say, hey, let's stock up on Bitcoin right now? And
that's a good question. And this is similar to, some of our customers ask us if we ever invest with their Bitcoin as well, right? And the answer is no, we don't ever take a position. We're very, very careful about that. We've worked with our investors to make sure that they feel safe with what we do with their funds. And yeah, we only work to buy and sell directly. We don't ever take a position in the market.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If I was just a consumer looking for an online website to buy or sell Bitcoin, is there a reason I would want to use your service?
Sure. Well, I hope so. We focus on making it really easy for kind of the general consumer to buy their Bitcoin. There's no multi-day, multi-week setup period. You can get approved in as little as 5 minutes. We have payment options as fast as getting paid within an hour. We can connect you with people who, if you want to do in-person trades, connect you to the ATM network where you can go up and get your Bitcoins instantly. We really want to make it very, very easy for people to get access to Bitcoin. And that's our primary goal is, fast and easy.
How do you handle the KYC in such a quick setup time?
Hey, well, we've got a unique process. It's multi-tiered, and so we can get people access to certain levels of Bitcoin very, very quickly. And then, increase their purchasing power kind of on demand.
Anything exciting in the near future that's... you got a little smirk on your face.
Always, man. I mean, Bitcoin's exciting itself, but Express Coin's working on a lot of cool stuff. We do have some very exciting announcements coming out. Some cool partnerships, cool members of the team. Life is good at Express Coin.
Great.
Just from Bitcoin in general.
Obviously, this is a job fair. What type of positions are you looking to fill today?
Really, what we want is a very talented, very hardworking, badass people of all sorts to come join the company. If you're working on marketing, if you're an engineer, if you just love working on Bitcoin D, we want people who care a lot about the space and who are really enthusiastic. And so we're kind of hiring everybody. Company's growing. It's an exciting place to work. We've got a great office down here in Santa Monica. So yeah, everybody.
So even non-technical people.
Yeah, non-technical.
All kind of positions.
If you have, like, if you're marketing, if you're ops, if you're if you like dealing with customers and teaching people about Bitcoin, there's a spot for you. All sorts of positions open right now.
All right. Well, I hope you guys meet some great candidates today.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much.
All right.
Bitcoin.
Rob Mitchell here at the Southern California Bitcoin Job Fair, and I'm with
Jonathan Chester from Bitwage.
And you guys are the first company to offer a payroll service in Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, so we're the first formal Bitcoin payroll service. In the United States, we're servicing customers, been doing it since July. We've got about 10 customers on us right now with some big guys like CoinSetter and ChangeTip who are on our platform, FreshPay as well. You know, we've been running payrolls for several months now.
Who would come to you to get this service? Someone who wants to be paid or an employer?
Right now, the way it works is there are a lot of employers out there, both in ideological perspective and a efficiency perspective, want to pay their employees in Bitcoins. Some of them will pay their employees with Bitcoins, and some of them will pay with US dollars so that their employees can just receive Bitcoins. And it's a really fast and easy system. The employer essentially only has to sign up one time, and after that, you never have to like manage any wallets or preferences or anything like that. The employee really just figures it all out themselves, right? They just do a little line item deduction. They say, you know, I want 75% of my paycheck to go to my bank, 25% to be turned to Bitcoins, and every single payroll, they get Bitcoins like that. Super easy.
Do you handle all the services, say, like an ADP would with all the government withholding and all that kind of stuff?
The way we work is we work into the back of every single payroll system out there. So we don't do the payroll calculations and withholdings. We leave that to ADP, to Zen Payroll, to TriNet, whoever it is. We are just here to sort of create this simple system that will plug into the back of all these payroll providers and allow you to pay your employees in Bitcoins. And, you know, one of the nice things is that fairly soon we'll be able to adapt this model for employees whose employers do not want to offer this kind of service. You know, if you're working for Google, you're working for JP Morgan, working for Bank of America, perhaps your entire company doesn't want to adopt a full Bitcoin payroll suite, right? So our system will actually enable you to get your Bitcoin payroll without your employer getting on board. Of course, there will be plenty of benefits, such as, you know, your employer actually paying for you to get your Bitcoins if your employer is on board. But if you just want the simplicity of not having to really pay attention and getting cheap, easy Bitcoin sent to your account, you can do this.
And are you guys, with your function, in any way on the hook for know your customer type stuff?
You know, that's an interesting question. We perform our anti-money laundering and KYC functions, which are required of money transmitters. We are not a money transmitter as a payroll company. We are an aspect of the payroll, helping an employer pay their employees in Bitcoins. And you don't actually have to get a money transmitting license as a payroll company. Just in Maine, you need to get some sort of bond. And so we don't have to do any of these things. We just do it pro bono. We want to make sure that everything is totally legit, totally kosher, make sure that, you know, nothing crazy is going on behind the scenes.
You were telling me earlier that you could either work with a company that pays Bitcoin or pays cash and you do the conversion. Do you have a set exchange you go to? Or are you flexible with that? How does that work?
Yeah, so we work with several different exchanges, and there's two reasons why we do that. One is we don't like the idea of a single point of failure. You know, let's say one of our exchanges goes down right at the time that a payroll needs to happen. You know, if we are unable to fulfill the payroll for the employer, that would not be a good thing. And if an employer were to just go to one exchange and their exchange was down, then they could also be on the hook for not paying their employees' wages on time.
Sure, okay.
So you have the multiple exchanges. So if one goes down, you can go to another. The other is we can shop around, right? We can figure out what is the best price for the employees, figure out what is the best price, you know, when the employees are supposed to get paid, and we purchase those Bitcoins at a good price and pass it on.
So how about from a privacy aspect? I mean, do you guys typically always pay to the same address? Is there some kind of a rotating address? I mean, I'm just trying to think how if someone was really concerned about, you know, not wanting people to see their wages.
Yeah.
And
we do two things with this. So one is, you know, if you're an employee and you're putting in your wallet address, you can change it on the fly. You know, if you feel like you lost your address or it's been compromised or you just want to use a different one, switch it anytime. You know, doesn't matter. And as long as you switch it before we start sending Bitcoins to that address, it should be totally fine. Now, the other thing that we do is we make sure that, you know, any names that the employer sees, they do not see the wallet address associated with it. So now we want to add this as a layer of privacy, a layer of security. So you can rest assured that your employer or one of your employer's administrators isn't looking at all of your financials, isn't looking at what you're purchasing and buying, because we think that's very private information and that you should be keeping that for yourself. So we hide that from people. I mean, should there be a wage dispute, you know, of some sort between the employee and the employer, and there's a need to actually see the address, we can provide that, but we will hide it otherwise.
Okay. Is there anything else about your service that you think is interesting?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the coolest things about our service, there's several customers who will actually use it to pay their international employees. Right.
Mm.
They'll spend U.S. dollars and, you know, they'll have a contractor in the UK and they'll pay them, you know, like $3,000 or something like that. And so we'll convert it to Bitcoins and it'll go out there. Eventually, we'll be able to offer the service of converting it back into the original currency should the employee want to have it in their home currency instead of in Bitcoins. But, you know, that'll be an option that they'll opt into, or, you know, maybe they'll contract it with their employer. And we actually just signed up with another payroll company that will allow us to do all sorts of filings too. So a lot of companies that do pay their 1099s, you know, they have to file 1099s at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a easy way to set that all up. We're also going to be implementing a system, hopefully by the end of the year, that will allow you to do your capital gains as an individual very easily. With a click of a button.
So who are you guys looking to hire here? Or
Yeah. Right now we're looking for developers and we're looking for marketing people. We have a few very exciting announcements that will be coming out soon. And with that will be a need for more general marketing needs. So we're looking to onboard someone on that side because we've got some good compliance down and some good business development, although we're happy to look at more people who are stellar in those areas.
Are these full-time positions or freelance work? Or?
Yeah, so right now they would be part-time, but you know, we want to get all of our part-time employees in place so when we are ready to start scaling up, we know who to bring on full-time. Right now we're self-funded. It's a self-funded operation where there's about six of us who are working on the system. And we are in the middle of raising a round by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So
where are you located?
What? Oh, we're located in Palo Alto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so right by the Stanford campus.
You're just visiting for the job fair? Or?
Yeah, we're just down here for the job fair. We were at the last one up north. It was a lot of fun, met a lot of cool people. And so I thought, why not come down here? And we're going to be going to Vegas after this too. Seemed like a nice little pit stop. You know, Okay. It's not really a straight line, but it's closer to get to Vegas from LA than San Francisco. So we thought, might as well check out the job fair and then head over.
And what were you doing before you started Bitwage?
So I was working at Oracle. I was in the sales department. So me and John Lindsay, who is the other founder of Bitwage, we were both working at Oracle. He was on the technical side of things, and I was on the sales side of things. We had a mutual friend that brought us together. And, you know, John had the idea of, you know, if Bitcoin is going to take off, you know, a natural evolution of it is going to be that people are going to start getting paid in it. You know, if you look at the financial circle, there's no scalable way for employers to actually bring and send and pay Bitcoins back to employees, right? So if you're an employer, you get Bitcoin, you basically, your choices are convert it immediately, hold it for investment, or buy goods and services on a small scale. We are providing a very scalable way for you to actually use those Bitcoins that you've accumulated and keep that efficiency that you got when you accepted those Bitcoins. And so that's sort of where it all started. And we've been looking a lot at, you know, how can we improve the whole payroll infrastructure with Bitcoin and with next generation payment protocols. And, you know, we after looking at it, we really came down to two different aspects. One is international payroll, right? You can make and transparent international payroll, and having Bitcoin as the underlying payment protocol to move it, you know, a lot of money savings, a lot of reduced time, a lot of reduced headache. The other aspect is real-time payroll. You can pay people in real time, right? You get paid people every single day or on demand, whatever it is, right? If you're looking at why we get paid once every 2 weeks instead of why not getting paid every day, I mean, if you look at the ACH system, you're looking at probably between 15 cents to 30 cents per ACH transfer, and 2 to 4 days for that money to hit your actual account. So if you were to pay someone per minute, you know, every single minute for an entire year, the cost of that is around $25,000. If you do that with Bitcoins, it is close to nothing.
What percentage of people pay with dollars versus Bitcoins when they're using your service?
I would say that most people do use dollars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then that's just because there's not a large number of companies that are holding all their Bitcoins right now. We see this changing over time, but I'd say a large majority of people are paying in dollars so that either Bitcoins can be sent to their international employees or, you know, as an added benefit for their own employees. And right now we're actually offering one of the cheapest ways for people to get their Bitcoins. Right now our service is free. So a lot of customers are like that, but they also like the ease of use and the ability to offer it to their employees as well.
Have any of the customers been non-Bitcoin companies, or is it?
Yeah, we've had non-Bitcoin companies. We actually are currently onboarding a student moving company now. These guys, they actually are pretty new to Bitcoin. One of their employees just said, "I want to get paid," and referred them to us. And we're actually helping them build out the entire architecture. So not just how to pay their employees, but how to get them to accept Bitcoin as well. So we sort of see this as a driving force for these small businesses with people who want to get paid in Bitcoin to sort of get into the scene.
So are you going to actually help them process it? So that's a whole new business.
We're not going to be doing the processing, but we're going to help them build out the architecture for it. So it's almost like a consulting service on top of the normal payroll services.
Anything else?
That sounds good.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
So I'm here at the Southern California Bitcoin Job Fair with Micah Winkelspecht. I saw just real recently you got a lot of news because you have a company called Gem.
Yeah, we actually changed our name. We were BitVault before, so we relaunched with a new name, Gem. And we are a platform for developers to be able to build secure Bitcoin apps on top of a multi-sig wallet infrastructure. And the idea is that, you know, you can basically plug in Bitcoin functionality to any type of app with less than 10 lines of code.
Wow. And just because I'm not a developer, is that something where there's a back end that you guys, or just code that they would work with?
Right. So we have a REST API, but we also build out client libraries in every language and SDK so that you can just plug and play and drop this into your app. And it allows you to have a very secure multi-signature based wallet that you can attach to any type of app. So you can, you know, have stored value in a messaging app, for instance, and you can use a messaging app to send Bitcoin across the internet, you know, to your friend on the other side of that messaging app. There's really a lot of different applications for it. And we don't really dictate the type of application you want to build. We just give you the infrastructure so that developers can basically invent whatever they want.
Could you maybe walk me through just the most simple way someone would use your functionality that you're bringing to them?
Sure. So you can actually use this to build a wallet app for a mobile phone, which is exactly what we did. We just launched the company at TechCrunch Disrupt. And You know, we're an API, so TechCrunch Disrupt is a more of a visual type of audience. You know, they're not really deep into crypto, so we wanted to build an example of our API and how to use it for that event. So we decided to put together an Android app that was a wallet app, and turns out, you know, we were able to build an entire wallet app in about 3 weeks because our API was made it really easy, and really all of our focus was on building out the UI and building out the product, and very little of it was actually writing Bitcoin specific code. And that's really the idea. We're trying to build a platform for developers so that they can focus on just building really great product and not have to be experts in cryptography, security, network security, or the underlying protocols of Bitcoin. We really handle all of the key management, all of the stored value of Bitcoin, and it's done through a multi-signature. So, you know, it's really key to understand this, that Gem never actually has possession over funds. We can provide you with sort of a bank level base to build your app on top of, complete with account spending limits, velocity control, controls, multi-factor authentication, we can do GeoIP filtering, and a ton of other types of checks that you would typically think of as bank-level features. And that's all baked right into your app, you know, without any development time.
So say velocity control, that's something that your back end is handling?
So essentially the way our a typical transaction, the way it would work here, is let's say you're building an app and you want to send one Bitcoin to Bob. So you would make an API request to our API for one Bitcoin to Bob, and then you have a private key on in your deployment that you can basically sign a transaction, and it's a half-signed transaction, and you can pass that half-signed transaction to Gem, and Gem will have to countersign that transaction. So every transaction in our system requires at least two valid signatures. It's based on what's called a multi-signature wallet. It's a 2-of-3 multi-signature scheme, which means that there are three total keys, and you can use any two of those keys in order to move money.
So would Gem just have, if it was, say, velocity control, something just saying, don't sign it unless it,
right,
you know.
So these are configurable by the developer, and they can be specific to whatever type of app you're making. But for instance, you can create a set of rules that apply to different accounts on our system. So for instance, you might have an app that has an account on it for one of your users where you want to have a spending limit. So you can limit it to, say, you know, $300 a month can be spent out of this account. Or you can set those spending limits however you like. Or you can allow your customer to set the spending limit. We're really flexible in terms of how you build out this on our platform. We just give you the tools to do it. You can also layer in things like multi-factor authentication. So we did an integration with Authy. And Authy has a newer product that allows you to do transaction confirmations in an out-of-band way. So it's a form of multi-factor authentication, but it happens on every transaction. And so you have to confirm not only with Gem, but also with Authy, that you really wanted to send, say, $30 to Bob. The main point is, you know, we're sort of technology agnostic. What we're doing is we're building out the infrastructure and allowing third parties to be able to plug into that infrastructure. So we can basically add a whole host of functionality and feature sets to your application, but the development can be done by outside parties and third-party developers who want to plug in and give you that functionality, like Authy or Jumio or any of these other types of players.
So Authy might actually bring customers to you because you're kind of partnering?
And we'll bring services? Customers to them as well, yeah.
So it's bank grade. What is the bank grade? I keep hearing bank grade.
Right. So if you think about, like, you know, what kind of features does the bank provide? Well, they give you account spending limits. They give you other types of velocity controls, which means that they're monitoring how fast money is moving out of an account over a period of time. They're watching it for potential fraud. So there's fraud monitoring, and they're doing things like GeoIP. Or they're doing a geographic filtering. So, you know, if somebody in Bangladesh is trying to make a transaction and you're based in Venice, California, where we're based, that's probably a fraudulent transaction. So they're basically turning off the spigot on things that they think are fraudulent transactions.
Okay.
We provide that same sort of framework. But the difference is, in order for the bank to be able to provide that feature set to you, the bank has to actually hold on to full possession of your money. Whereas Gem never takes full possession of your money. Gem only has one of three keys, and two keys are required in order to move money. So Gem is never in possession of enough keys to be able to move your money without you.
And obviously, a person has one key. Where's that third key usually?
So the third key is an offline backup, and that can be held either by the customer or by a third-party cold storage service. So if you really want to have full control over your wallet and you don't want anybody else involved, you can definitely hold your own backup key. And I think for the power user, that makes a lot of sense. But we're also working with third parties to give you the ability to actually have the backup key hosted by cold storage services. So it's really a three-party model. It's really up to the developer and the customer what they want to do.
So say I wanted to hold that third key somehow. You guys like have a way you get it to me that's
offline? You can actually you could, if you're really a power user, you can just generate it on your own offline completely. You never have to give it to us. You can give us the public version of that key, and that's all we need. So we can build an entire wallet for you with just the public version of that key. And you can generate that on an air-gapped computer offline, store it in a bank vault somewhere if you really want to take control over your own security.
Interesting. Okay.
But we're also trying to make it easier because I don't think, you know, the average consumer is really ready to do that kind of work. So we're also trying to find ways to make it easier for customers to be able to have security, but maybe through a third-party service where nobody is in control of all keys at once.
Does someone have to worry somehow you guys are offline, denial of service attacks, something like that, and can't get their funds when they want them?
So the beauty of our system is that there's, because it's a three-key system, Gem only has one key, and the customer is always in possession of at least two of the keys. So if we were to go offline, and I could talk about how we're avoiding that, but if we were to go offline or we were to disappear overnight, the customer always has both of their keys. So they can take their online primary signing key and their offline backup key, combine them together, and move their money out of our wallets without our permission.
Could there be a, you know, 3 of 5 or any other time of scheme set up?
Right. So, yeah, it's absolutely scalable to any sort of M of N methodology. Our focus right now is on 2 of 3 because it has the most applications. But we certainly have that on our roadmap to be able to add M of N.
So you guys are looking to hire here at the job fair?
Yeah, we're definitely looking for people. You know, we just came out at TechCrunch last month and launched a company, announced that we raised a seed round, and we're looking for developers, DevOps, and you know, really senior guys who are involved in the security world who want to take part in this.
Okay, so purely technical people at this stage.
At this stage, although, you know, we're definitely meeting people. We have a whole range of functions that we will be hiring for in the next couple months.
Great. So what's the next thing you think as far as progress of the company? What happens next?
Well, right now we launched our private beta, and we're doing some deployments with some initial customers, and we haven't announced who those are, but we're mainly working right now with exchanges and merchant processors to be able to help secure their operational accounts. One of the big problems in the industry, and we saw this with Mt. Gox, right, is Mt. Gox was based on a single point of failure. They had, you know, everybody's using these single key wallets, where if they get compromised, like Mt. Gox did, the attackers gain access to the entire amount of funds in those wallets, and they can run raw Bitcoin transactions anywhere in the world on the Bitcoin network and steal those funds. All they need is the single private key. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to transition the industry to using a multi-signature model where that risk is spread out across multiple partners and multiple companies. And, you know, we're going very, very deep on security. And ultimately, I think, you know, right now, if you want to build a Bitcoin app, if you want to build an exchange or a wallet or whatever it is you want to build, you know, not only do you have to build this amazing product and sell consumers and focus on marketing and all that stuff, but you also have to be an expert in cryptography, be an expert in security, network security, Bitcoin protocol. So there, you have to basically build the entire stack from the ground up every time. And the problem with that is that a lot of these companies are small, scrappy startups. You know, they're not quite mature, you know, as a company. And so they reinvent the wheel from the ground up, and invariably there's going to be some security holes. The idea here is that you should be able to build on top of a very strong framework and not have to focus so much on the underlying protocols and the underlying security model, and focus on what makes you different rather than what makes you the same as everybody else.
How do you guys make sure there aren't any holes in the coding? I mean, just have people review code over and over? How do you go about that?
Yeah, so that's probably the best reason why we haven't actually done a full launch yet, is because we're launching very, very carefully, doing one customer at a time and making sure that everything is is right. We're also doing full, you know, line-by-line code reviews with security firms, network reviews. We're also introducing a bug bounty program where we're paying white hat hackers to essentially try to penetrate our system. Mm-hmm. And if they find something, we'll pay them for those. And generally, we can't speak about all of the things that we're working on, but we're working on some projects that really I don't think anybody in the industry is working on. We're looking at, you know, other industries that have the same issues with key management. We're saying, how does the military protect its top secrets? How does the government protect its top secrets? How do Visa, MasterCard, and American Express protect their private keys? How does VeriSign protect their private keys? And we're going at that depth.
Interesting.
And learning from those companies to build a system that everybody can build on top of.
Are you doing work that you think could help stem the big data thefts that keep happening with
Yeah, absolutely.
Companies?
I mean, if you look at the credit card industry, right? I mean, the credit card is a failed technology. It was invented back in the 60s. And it's a system where every time we go to swipe our card, we're handing over a piece of plastic that contains our private key printed right on the front of it. You know, that 16-digit number is essentially a private key that allows you to spend a lot of money, you know, out of that account. And the entire system is based on that vulnerability, which is why credit card fees are so high in the first place, because they have to compensate for that risk. But we're seeing very rapidly that that system is changing. And we're moving more towards a system that's going to be powered by cryptography and powered by the principles of public key, private key cryptography, where the individual can hold on to their own secret and never have to actually transmit it to anybody. And they can transact without ever telling anybody their secret. And so the whole world is going to change in that direction. And so what we're trying to do as a company is we're trying to say, okay, well, how can we, A, accelerate that curve and move to, you know, a secure way to deal with public key, private key cryptography, and B, how can we move this industry forward and allow the individual to be sovereign?
Is there anything else you feel like you want to talk about?
Bitcoin is my favorite topic, so yeah. I talk about it day in and day out. I'm just excited to be here. And, you know, it's really great to have this kind of showing in L.A. One of the things I'm really hoping for is that L.A. can keep Bitcoin here. You know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, to move companies up to the Bay Area. We have a group that's about 860 members strong here in Los Angeles, and we want to keep our company in L.A., so we're looking for talent from the rest of the Silicon Beach crowd and keep them here in L.A., and work for Bitcoin. LA was just voted, I can't remember the publication, but LA was just voted the most Bitcoin-friendly city in the world.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, we've got more vendors that accept Bitcoin than I think anywhere else, even San Francisco.
That's really changed in the past year,
yeah.
Then. I felt like LA was really lagging.
Yeah, we're a sleeper hit.
Wow, exciting. What were you working on before you started in the Bitcoin space?
I've been a developer for the last decade here in Silicon Beach, so I've worked for a bunch of startup companies. Worked at a company here called Pose, helped build an early product for a company called Guide Financial, which was out of Launchpad LA. I worked for AT&T Interactive. I've done just a bunch of work for a lot of different types of companies.
Interesting. And I know I've heard you mention Ruby a few times.
Ruby is definitely my bread and butter and my favorite language. I came from that world. But, you know, our product has expanded beyond that. Our stack involves pretty much a little bit of every language. So, especially with our client libraries, we build libraries in Java, Python, Ruby, you know, Node. We're working on PHP and everything. So, we're trying to make this as easy as possible to drop into any type of app.
Where do you see Bitcoin in a year?
Man, it's tough to see the future of Bitcoin in 3 months. you know, it's really hard to predict. But I think that you're starting to see a bit of maturity in the industry. I think what you saw before was you'd have a few companies that tried to do everything. And now you're starting to see a lot more companies that are having very specific focuses, right? You know, we're really focused on the API layer and the security layer. FreshPay over here is really, really focused on building out Bitcoin debit cards. You know, you've got guys who are focusing just on recruiting for the Bitcoin industry, and Bitwage, which is focused on how you pay employees with Bitcoin. So you've got these much more specialized companies than you did before, and it's not just Coinbase trying to take over the world. The price is probably the lowest point it's been in 6 months, and everybody here is still just absolutely fired up. I mean, I hope people stop looking at the price of Bitcoin as the determining factor of whether it's going to be successful or not. The reason why Bitcoin is so amazing is because it allows us to do things that we just could not do before. That's why it's interesting. And the price of Bitcoin really doesn't matter that much. I wish the media would focus more on the technology and what can be built with this technology rather than trading it as an asset.
And I'm just realizing here, just all the jobs, not just tech jobs.
I think regulators need to wake up to that. This is a job-creating industry, right? You know, New York is they've attempted to introduce some really dangerous legislation. I know they want to be the sort of home of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but if you put these onerous regulations on companies in New York, what's going to happen is you're going to just push those companies outside of your state and your jurisdiction. And right now, we're creating a ton of jobs. You know, I've got 8 guys that are full-time on my team. They didn't have these jobs even 6 months ago. We are really creating an industry here, and we're good for the economy.
I'm Jacob Norty. I'm CEO, co-founder of Malibu Bitcoin.
What is Malibu Bitcoin?
Yeah, so we're a fairly new company. Malibu Bitcoin is the world's first private Bitcoin brokerage. So anything you're going to go to a traditional broker for, we do that as well. We have an over-the-counter exchange. We provide escrow services for our clients. We do speculation advice, cold key storage. Anything that you go to like Merrill Lynch for, we can do that, but for crypto.
So are you guys trading on just the big exchanges or?
Well, for most of our liquidity, we source from private sources. We do buy some on the open market, but for the most part, we try to keep everything very exclusive, very private. From the day one of Malibu Bitcoin, once you become our client, you're going to be, you know, treated with a personal broker. Everything's going to be, your information is going to be kept very private. We don't disclose anything then unless we're asked to by the government.
Okay, so this is like very different.
It's very different. Okay. No, we're not trying to build a world-beating API. We're trying to use all these things that are coming out to package together to make the best consumer experience possible. Because right now, there's really nobody you can go to and ask, hey, what is Bitcoin and what can it do for me? You can go and watch some videos online. You can maybe go to a website. But there's no real firm that's trying to be the connection between, you know, the people and the currency. And that's what we're trying to do right here. You can call us day and night. One of us is going to be up and have a personal broker right there to be answer all your questions, direct you. If we don't have the answer and we don't have the services, we'll direct you to somebody that can fulfill those.
If I was just interested in growing my Bitcoin holdings, would you guys actively trade in and out for
almost
me?
Definitely. Right now our clients, they have a variety of needs that we strive to fill everything. So if a client came to me and said, hey, I'd like to grow my Bitcoin naturally without, you know, too much risk, I'd be like, okay, I have these secured loans that I can put you through several different places, and you can get some, you know, real steady income off of, you know, loaning out your Bitcoin. Or if they're a little bit more risky, we can advise them on a pattern of, you know, trading some alts or trading some a little more derivatives side of it. But that's a little bit more risky for a lot of our clients like to take. We also have the ability to connect people who have money to industries and firms that need it. For example, we have several partners in the mining industry, several partners in some other startups that we have, you know, people that come to me and say, hey, I'd like to, you know, buy $100,000 in Bitcoin. Cool, that's great. But how would you like to put that $100,000 into a company that, or a person or a firm or whatever that we have connections with, and grow that even more?
Okay, so all kinds of investing in the Bitcoin space, basically.
Most definitely, yeah. We're a full service brokerage. We do anything that your normal broker is going to do. But right now, our primary focus is building out our over-the-counter exchange, because I see a large need in the market for that right now.
So I'm going to have to plead a little ignorance.
So an over-the-counter exchange is basically somebody that you're going to go to and buy one lump sum of Bitcoin without a market book. So if you're going to spend $100,000 on a large exchange today, you're going to suffer a little bit of market book slip. You're going to lose anywhere from 1% to 3% on the books, just because that's how the market works. With us, you can come to us, say, hey, I want X amount of Bitcoin. At the time of sale, the strike price, as we call it, we'll sell it to you at that price, plus our commission, one trade over the counter, cash in hand. So you don't have to worry about, you know, wiring money anywhere. You can call us, set up an appointment. Everything's private. Everything's secure. We pull from our own liquidity for everything. We're privately funded. So if somebody wants to buy Bitcoin, they're buying it from us. They're not buying it from, you know, Joe down the street. They're buying it from Malibu Bitcoin, and they're going to have it insured so that they're not going to, you know, run off. We're not running off with their money, which is a great improvement to the current system of buying Bitcoins with person right now, which is like local Bitcoins, which turns a lot of people off because it's basically like Craigslist. You know, people don't like calling some person they've never met with a username and, you know, meeting meeting up with them. They can call a firm that has a brand they can trust, talk to a real person day and night, and answer all their questions and walk them through every step of the way.
You must be one of the few people here who's not saying, I don't care about the price.
Personally, and as a firm, our mission, we do believe in the future of cryptocurrency. We believe that long term, it will revolutionize the world, and the price is the least important in the long term. Obviously, our business interests in the short term, with the recent market, contraction, it squeezes profits and dollars out, but we're still making Bitcoin off of commission. So we have several things in place to where either way the market's moving, we're making money. We're very smart about that. We have lots of people that spend lots of time doing that to basically, hedge it either way.
It's not just a safe assumption that you guys are buying Bitcoin as it's reaching these kind of new shorter term lows.
Oh, most definitely. My favorite quote is buy when there's blood in the streets, even if it's your own. So right now, we are actively pulling capital out and putting it into coin because we foresee, $10,000 coin in, a couple years off.
So what skills do you and your team have to be able to do all these things?
We've designed Malibu Bitcoin to be really kind of a balanced team. We have a good balance between technical know-how and development on the lowest level and the highest level. And we also have, a good sales and outreach team. So a lot of what we do, we're not developing an API or something per se. We're trying to put together all of these services that are coming out now and packaging them up into the best consumer product. For example, we have people that are serving solely as brokers. They solely interface with clients. They solely get merchants to adopt. They solely reach out and do education. Everything you can think of with the public facing, they do that. We also have a development side that where we have people coding derivatives and et cetera. So we try to fill everything possible because we do bill ourselves as full service. So if you wanted to go to us and say, hey, I'd like to buy an options contract, in December at strike price X or whatever, we could put that together for you and, you would all be in-house.
I guess the big question, the hard question that I guess we have to trust Malibu Bitcoin.
Well, most definitely. I mean, Bitcoin is a decentralized currency and I am a huge advocate for anything decentralized, but there's problems in the short term and medium term for that because a lot of people don't understand it. They don't understand decentralization. They don't understand the security that comes from it. So in the interim of, the 100 years between now and when all the coins are mined, somebody's going to have to be there to basically introduce the new masses to this new technology. So there will be a degree of trust placed in us, and we expect that from our clients, and we put that right back into our clients. But I can safely say that we are the only firm, the only brokers right now that is trying to build a brand that you can trust, trying to build a firm that you can trust. We don't take your deposits. We don't, we're not running off like Mt. Gox did with your coins. We're just simply teaching you and giving you the tools to make your money better, move it smarter, grow it, be more convenient to access for you. And that's really what our company's mission is right now, is just kind of in the interim, having people place trust in us and building up this new economy to eventually where everything will be decentralized.
When I first saw Malibu Bitcoin, I saw you guys sold Bitcoin. I thought you guys were local Bitcoin guys
in
Malibu.
Well, we are headquartered out of Malibu. We do most of our business because all four of our C team lives there. But we are in Ventura. We're in Orange County. We're in San Diego. We have people in Houston. We have people up in Washington right now. We're looking to expand into Las Vegas. We aren't geographic centric. The name Malibu, what do you think when you think of Malibu? You think of movie stars. You think of beaches. You think of exclusivity. So when you look at Malibu Bitcoin, you have the brand you can trust. You have the name recognition of Malibu. We're headquartered there, and we're not leaving there because we love Malibu. We love going surfing in the morning and then going and hiking in the mountains in the evening, and we can do that there.
Who are you guys looking to hire today?
So right now, we have two positions that we're actively seeking out right now. One is our senior broker position, and really, that's going to be the transition from each one of the C-team having their own broker or their own clients and broker relationships to somebody who directly only has clients. That's their job, is to interface with the clients. Most like you would go to stockbroker now, you'd walk into, say a Merrill Lynch and you'd say, hey, I'd like to buy stock. I'd like to trade money. You get your own personal broker. That's the position we're hiring from right now, because right now everybody in our team has their own clients and deals with them, as well as their own duties as chief technical, chief executive, etc. I think that makes it more personal at this point, but scalability wise, we're going to have to hire more brokers that do that.
Are you guys getting involved in any other cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin?
Oh, naturally. I mean, I think any serious cryptocurrency out in the market today has some potential regardless of what anybody will say about it. Bitcoin obviously is king, and Bitcoin is gold at this point in the cryptocurrency space, which isn't saying much right now. But there are lots of altcoins out there that I personally and us as a firm see potential in, and maybe one of them will rise and become, you know, Bitcoin silver. Maybe it'll overtake Bitcoin. We don't know. This industry is in its infancy. All these technology is just so revolutionary that I marvel every single day when I use this and read about everything that's coming on.
I keep thinking it would be nice to be able to invest in altcoins without having to do all the homework. Is that a service you guys would offer?
Yeah. So the altcoin market right now is just a complete, it's the Wild West. You hear stories every day of pump and dump scams. You hear of, you know, market manipulation. It's a really scary place for the average person to look at. I mean, I've watched it growing up from having a few blue chips to like all these other coins that are coming out every single day. So if somebody did come to me and said, hey, like I'm interested in altcoins, they would have to understand the risks involved behind it, what it entails, what they're buying into. You know, they would have to say, I think this coin actually has long-term potential and has technologically revolutionized something that Bitcoin doesn't do, rather than, hey, this coin's getting pumped, let's make money off of it.
I guess I'd be looking for someone to be doing the research for me and just say,
no,
hey,
that's most definitely, yeah,
in altcoins, but I can't keep up on the pump and dumps versus the ones that have technological.
Oh yeah, and we do that. We keep up on the market every day. Every single one of our employees is always in the market, always in the news. You know, reading up on everything, studying stuff. You know, reading over code. Any information that we can digest and move on in an easier package to our clients is a dollar made, a Bitcoin made. So that's what we strive ourselves to do, is be a one stop shop. So if somebody says, you know, hey, what's going on with ViaCoin? We can say, oh, hey, like this happened. This is what they do. This is what they innovate on. And they could be like, okay, instead of searching through, you know, countless Bitcoin Talk blog posts and websites and, you know, dubious cryptocurrency news sites, etc.
Do you guys have a set fee structure? It kind of depends on what you're doing.
So, no, yeah, our over-the-counter exchange has a sliding fee structure from anywhere from 5% to anywhere, depending. It's a little variable for each one of our clients' needs, but around 3 to 5% over market price. And we use the BPI of all of them, so the average of all of the markets, not just, you know, one exchange. I think a lot of people are quick to jump on like Bitstamp or these higher value markets, whereas we believe, you know, we need to use the entire market as a price indicator. For our other services, for instance, our Cold Key storage. So if you want to set you up with a Cold Key multi-sig wallet, we'll store one of the keys and we'll set you up everything secure-wise, and we take 1% off the principal for every year. And then with the rest of our like a speculation advice service and merchant outreach and everything, those are variable fees. Right now, we're offering any merchant who wants to accept Bitcoin free consultation, free setup, free equipment, free training, everything at this point. Eventually in the future, we're going to charge for that, just like, you know, companies charge to set up people with credit cards now. But right now we do that completely free of charge and complimentary for Malibu Bitcoin. As far as like our personal broker status, if you want to, you know, talk with me hourly or, you know, over email, over the phone about, hey, what's this, you know, crypto doing today? That would be a variable fee structure from there.
I hadn't thought about your business model at all.
Yeah, the analogy I like to take, because a lot of people, even Bitcoin 2.0 people, look at us and are like, well, what are you guys innovating on? What are you doing? We are innovating in the fact that we are collecting everything that is going on, digesting it, and making it into a consumer product. The brand of Bitcoin needs to be built out to the point where an average consumer off across the street can say, hey, I know what that is, and I know where to go to learn more about it. And that's what we're trying to do right now. Nobody else is doing that third layer, is what we like to call it. The second layer is where, you know, all these APIs are making these second layer services that are built on the first layer of Bitcoin. We're going to build that third layer on top that's completely neglected at this point, of using those services to then pass on to the consumer in a more digestible way. So consumers are used to going into banks. They're used to having brokers. They're used to having people they go to for this. The beauty of Bitcoin is they don't have to do that, but a lot of people like it. And so that we're here to serve to those people.
Besides trust, is there any other security blanket for people?
Almost definitely. Everything that we do is completely publicly auditable, except for our client records. Everybody who is a client, all their records, all the KYC, AML information that we comply with fully with is stored offline, PGP encrypted and everything on the books is pseudonymous until we need to audit or have to, you know, give it up to the feds. The layer of trust we're trying to build is basically, you know, you can talk to us, you can come into our office, you can come into our homes, you can, we can meet you at your office, your home, at the local coffee shop. We can talk you over and we can laugh with you, we can cry with you, we can be human with you. If you want to, hey, I'll open up your exchange wallets, I'll open up, you know, watch only whatever. You can watch everything that we're doing. We're not trying to hide anything. We're trying to build trust. We're trying to build a brand people can respect and go to when they need help. We are privately funded right now. We have a few investors and equity people looking into us, either floating our Bitcoin as a bond, kind of. We're in talks with several exchanges like with that, to, you know, bonding out some liquidity to use with our exchange, because we're really not spending their money. We're just using it to make more money. Right now, we've only been open for 3 months for business, and we are having to triage some of our clients' orders because the demand is so high for our services. We've had to hire two more people within, you know, 3 months. That's unheard of a startup.
Is there a typical type of person who tends to come to you?
No, that's the thing. Everybody that we've met has been just the most unique and interesting people. We've gotten people all the way from diehard libertarian, you know, paper wallet, everything wants to be tumbled, like really off the grid, to the guy who just heard about it on, you know, CNN and wants to learn more about it, to the aging father who wants to put away some, you know, coin for his children. I've gotten people who don't even know what the blockchain is and want to buy from me, and I'm there to explain everything that they want, you know, want to know about it and sell them the coin. The entire industry needs to focus on making Bitcoin the easiest and most digestible to consumers as possible, and we're doing that at a firm level.
Exciting.
Very much.
I sure appreciate your time.
Oh, no, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
All right, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Bitcoin. What is the sui
Bitcoin?
You're still listening? I really tried to be professional with the podcast at this point, but I wanted to be a little more open since this is my first podcast. Anyway, here's a few behind-the-scenes notes. First off, as I realize I have different voices when I'm introducing the podcast, I switch into like low professional voice, not intentional. And then I'm much higher pitched doing these interviews, probably because I was nervous. It's nothing like listening to raw audio of yourself to realize how bad you are at speaking. Oh, I don't know if there will be a magic word, but you guys might want to try this in case there is. The magic word is maybe jobs, J-O-B-S. I did really feel off my game during these interviews. I actually just come back from a memorial service, and it's hard to switch gears, especially as a non-pro. I also want to mention I interviewed Dan Roseman, who's from Coinality and organized all three of the Bitcoin job fairs to date in three different locations. But Adam tells me Let's Talk Bitcoin might be using that interview, so I did not include it in my podcast here. But I do at least want to mention Dan Roseman, and you should look for his new service, Coinality.io, where they're going to be actually allowing people with skills to list themselves with some vetting. I think it's just technical people. Coinality.com is the current free job site he has. People might wonder why this podcast is called The Bitcoin Game. It's kind of simple. I own thebitcoingame.com, and so as an afterthought, it seemed like a decent name. Thanks for listening, and this is my first real podcast. Oh, I guess I'll mention too, any of the music you heard was either collaboration or me solo, and music might be generous in some cases. Thanks for listening.